This week, we're going to welcome Julie Borowski to the podcast. You might know her as Token Libertarian Girl on YouTube. And she's been gracious enough to join us this week. Julie, welcome to the Shill Report podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me on.
Well, thanks for joining us. Just wanted to jump right into the first question here. It's more of an origin story question for the listeners out there who may not know too much about you yet. How did you get started as Token Libertarian Girl? What motivated you to fire up a YouTube channel and drop libertarian knowledge on the world? And what are your goals for the current videos and then your future work?
Sure. Well, I watched a lot of YouTube back in the day, back in the 2007 Ron Paul campaign, 2008. And in 2011, I noticed that Ron Paul, of course, was still not getting the media attention that he deserved on mainstream media. So I decided, hey, I'm just going to try to start a YouTube channel. And frankly, I didn't know basically anything what I was doing. I just started a YouTube channel in my bedroom with a cheap camera. And I just went at it and just talked about Ron Paul and why he was a great candidate. And surprisingly, a couple of people watched it. So I just kind of continued, and now I'm just trying to spread the message of liberty and talk about economic policy to people that may not be interested in politics.
At this point, we'd consider you a libertarian celebrity. I don't know if you'd consider yourself that or not.
Not at all.
I met you at the Students for Liberty conference in Washington, D.C., and you seemed to be surprised that people wanted to get their picture taken with you, and, you know, very humble.
Yeah.
And I wondered, have you been surprised by the popularity of the videos, and have you realized some challenges and benefits from finding this level of popularity in the libertarian movement?
I am completely surprised. At first, I maybe got 100 viewers, and I thought that was incredible. But I learned a lot of early lessons. One of the first things that really surprised me is the amount of trolls that I got in my videos, which is just YouTube in general, people leaving mean comments. So I've kind of learned to kind of separate that from everything and learn not to take it personally. Also, be entertaining on YouTube. I know my first videos were pretty boring and just dry, and people want to laugh because people are just so sick of politics right now, and they want to learn about them, but they also want to kind of escape from their normal politics and have a laugh at it. Also, kind of learn more about production. So my videos are a little bit better, but of course I know they're not professional quality whatsoever. I don't think that's necessary for YouTube. As long as you are putting out consistent videos that are entertaining and inform people, I think you'll be all right.
Julie, can you give us some insight into your creative process when you're prepping for the videos? Do you just sit down and let it rip, or is there, you know, some process that goes along to creating the topics and creating the videos?
Sure. I pay attention to what's happening in the news, especially on Twitter, what people are talking about, because that's what they want to watch. And I get really excited about making videos, and I kind of, not necessarily script everything out, but I just, like, have a big notebook, and I scribble down ideas and what I want to put characters. So people that don't know my videos, I sometimes dress up as goofy characters. People like to laugh at that. So I just kind of scribble everything out really messy, and I just kind of go at it and try to edit it together. It's kind of, it's not a very formal process whatsoever.
You know, Julie, say someone wanted to start out along the same path that you're going down, or perhaps even better, as you look back, if you had to do it over again, what are some of the things that you may or may not would do again? And aside from, you know, learning about how to handle the trolls, are there any other mistakes or opportunities or things like that that you would change or look to correct?
My first couple videos, I was talking directly to libertarians, and I was using libertarian jargon. And one thing that I've noticed that has really gotten views and get people really interested is talk to just the broad audience, not necessarily libertarians, because I don't want to just, you know, preach to the choir. I want everyone to become libertarians and at least liberty-minded. So I know I've tried to reach out to conservatives, some liberals on videos. And another thing, probably just be conscious of what you're doing. I know some of my videos have been kind of controversial when I didn't think they were going to be. So perhaps I should have rethought some of the things I said. But just realize that you're a lot of people are going to see your videos that don't necessarily know where you're coming from and don't really know you. So just rethink what you're going to say at all times.
Can I follow up on that real quick? There's a video that you did, and I wonder if it falls into that category of things that you said. When you put out the abortion video, I first of all thought that was incredibly brave and incredibly well done. But did you find first of all, what was the reaction to that video? And do you think it stands on its own and would you leave it as it is? Or is that one of those where you would tone yourself down?
I would leave that video where that was. I thought that video was a long time coming. I made a pro-life video. And a lot of people had always asked me my opinion on abortion. And I used to try to avoid the subject because I didn't want to cause controversy because libertarians are kind of torn on the issue. But it's something that I care about. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to put this out there. This is my opinions. I didn't try to offend anyone, which was the main goal. I just want people to know where I was coming from. So, no, I don't regret that video at all.
One of the things that I've been consistently frustrated by and surprised by is that, I guess I'm not surprised by it because I've experienced it. Most libertarians have. You know, some of the most vocal, vile criticism of you comes from other libertarians. And I think that a lot of times that makes people go, well, why would I want to join this group? I mean, as somebody who takes those slings and arrows, I mean, what are your thoughts on civility within the libertarian movement?
I think libertarians, just their personalities, they tend to be very argumentative, and it's just something you have to get used to. I mean, as long as it's not personal, I understand where they're coming from, and I actually try to engage with them. Sometimes it does get personal, but I think you just kind of have to ignore that. I like making videos, and I think there are some people that like watching my videos, so I want to continue what I'm doing, and I don't want to give too much attention to the distractors.
I find that most libertarians have a conversion story, and I wondered what was your eureka moment. How did you find the libertarian philosophy, and what made you fall in love with it?
I didn't really have that one moment where I was like, I'm a libertarian. But I grew up pretty conservative. I would say neoconservative because I supported all the wars that George W. Bush started. And then I kind of just realized over time that this wasn't working. The whole big government foreign policy wasn't consistent with small government conservatism. And I learned about libertarianism on the internet mostly when I was about 15, just kind of like Google searches. And I decided, hey, I'm a libertarian, but I wasn't really active within it. And so I learned about Ron Paul when I was 18 years old. I was a freshman in college through a Facebook group about the Patriot Act. And so I've been pretty much on board ever since, and I started making videos a couple of years ago.
Now, Julie, you currently work at FreedomWorks. What do you do there? What's it like to work for that organization?
I've been working at FreedomWorks for, 3.5 years now. A lot of people don't realize I started working on FreedomWorks before I ever started a YouTube channel or anything like that. I do a lot of stuff at FreedomWorks, but my title is a policy analyst. Some people think like I gave myself that title, but no, that's actually my title. I do a lot of writing on economic policy right now, education, Obamacare, monetary policy, you know, basically anything that's in the news that day, I write about it, do a lot of research. I work for the PAC, too, so I do a lot of stuff with candidates' endorsements. I don't personally endorse, but I do a lot of research on candidates.
Mm-hmm. What are some
and
of
if
you...
Someone,
go ahead, Joe. Go.
I just wanted to know if somebody wanted to get involved with that organization, how can they reach out?
Get involved with FreedomWorks?
Yes.
We have a website called freedomconnector.com, which you can get involved with FreedomWorks and local limited government groups in your area. You just sign up and they'll say, you know, these are the groups in your area. You can contact us. We have a contact form on our website. We also have a lot of different events going on around the country. And especially in D.C., we host these things called fly-ins a couple of times a year where we can learn and we give presentations about economic policy.
You said you study Obamacare, and the exchange has just opened earlier this week as we record this. you know, what is your general opinion on Obamacare? I mean, what are, how destructive do you think it will be? And, or maybe you'll surprise us and say you think Obamacare is a good thing.
I definitely think Obamacare is a bad thing. I just posted an article a couple of days ago because Cosmopolitan Magazine posted this article on the top 8 ways that Obamacare will help young women. And I just posted an article, top 8 ways that Obamacare will hurt young women. I think my biggest scare about Obamacare is that it's going to fail, and we know it's going to fail. And when it fails, I'm afraid that people are going to start calling for a single-payer system, which some people may say that Harry Reid's plan to begin with. So I'm really scared. I know it's going to fail. I know it's going to cost a lot of money. I'm really offended that people are forced to buy something that they may not want and or they may not be able to afford. It's going to be a complete disaster. And, of course, we don't have a free market health care to begin with, but it's going to make it even worse. And the waiting lines, and it's just going to be a mess.
Now, Julie, we've been in the shutdown for about a week now. Do you have any predictions as to how this whole thing is going to play out, how long it'll go on, et cetera, et cetera?
I don't know how long it's going to go on. It's just kind of been a, I want to say a mess again. Sorry to use that word. But it just, it's such political theater that based all the unconstitutional departments, all the terrible things about government, is still open, but the Dinosaur Museum in D.C. is closed, the World War II Memorial, things that people actually kind of like for the most part are open, but all the bad things are closed. And of course, the mainstream media are saying that it's the Republicans' fault. Now, I'm not a team Republican, team Democrat, but if you look at it, the House sent 3 bills to Harry Reid, and he said, I'm not going to negotiate on this. So it's really whose fault is it? I would say that it's more the Democrats' fault than it is the Republicans.
Ryan? Do you think there will be any implications as far as, like, the longer this goes on? Do you think people will be will miss government more, or do you think they'll learn that, hey, we're getting by all right without them?
Huh, that's a good question. I think probably in middle America where they don't really care about politics, it doesn't really affect their day-to-day life, they have no idea that the federal government's actually closed. But I don't know. I think, but then there's a lot of people in around my area that are just kind of just mad about government. I think it really depends on where your area is and how much the federal government actually affects your day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm. But Julie, do you think that these Obamacare issues and this shutdown, do you think this bleeds into 2014 and this becomes a major midterm issue that swings the House and potentially, although less likely, the Senate in different directions?
It depends on how long it goes on. One, I guess it's a blessing and a curse that a lot of Americans have a short-term memory. So I'm not sure if it's really going to lead into 2014 or not. It really just depends.
So one final question. If you were to give advice to somebody out there who wants to get involved in the libertarian movement, what would it be? What would you advise them to do?
It depends on what they're good at, honestly. I get a lot of messages asking, you know, how can I get more involved? If you want to start a blog, if you want to start a YouTube channel, that's your thing, go for it. It's really easy. Just set up a camera in your bedroom and start making videos. If you want to blog, just start making articles. Of course, a lot of people are not going to pay attention, but you just kind of have to build up a fan base, I guess. But if you're more, you kind of want to get involved in your community, look at groups in your community and get involved there. If you're a Libertarian Party person, get involved with your Libertarian Party. If you're a GOP person, there's a Republican Party you can get involved in. It depends on what you want to do and what you're good at.
All right. Well, thank you for taking the time to talking to us. We really appreciate it. And just thanks for sharing your insights on your creative process.
Thank you for having me on.